Hockey Central at noon is Hockey Central at any time you want it to be. When you subscribe to the podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan. On demand.
ARC.
Nobody does it better. This is Hockey Central on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
What is an unofficial non-Saturday record on Sportsnet? Seven games coming your way today. A part of a 12-game package in the National Hockey League. Welcome to Hockey Central at noon. We're going to wrap up the weekend style. A lot to get to today, including what we learned this week in the NHL, brought to you by Boston Pizza. Darren Millard here in the HC studio, along with former National Hockey Leaguer Corey Hirsch and John Shannon from the NHL on Sportsnet. We will start. This is the unofficial pregame show. There's a lot of unofficials today. Rangers of Boston at 1 o'clock.
Why can't we be official?
1 o'clock Eastern time. Because we're not branded that way. And then Nashville, Philadelphia at 3:30 on Sportsnet. Slide over to Montreal, New Jersey tonight. Pittsburgh, Columbus on Sportsnet Ontario. Edmonton, Detroit and Sportsnet West. Followed by Vancouver, Dallas, Sportsnet Pacific. Calgary, Arizona, Sportsnet Flames. You have over the next...
What are you doing? Which game are you doing?
I got Vancouver, Dallas tonight. So I got a good one.
You have 11 hours.
Pretty excited about that one.
Of continuous NHL action. So, gentlemen, ahead of today, we have the goaltending dilemma in the NHL. A lot of guys are out. We'll touch on that. We'll also get to a couple of articles that John Shannon has posted on Sportsnet.ca. One about China, and the other about the Arizona Coyotes moving.
Yes.
They are not connected.
No.
I don't want to start any rumors that
moving to China.
Coyotes are moving to China.
Coyotes.
Let's get to what's happening with Carey Price, and we know he's out. Now we know he's out. Going to be gone for at least a week, which sounds like it's going to be longer than that. What's your take on whether or not he came back too early?
Well, Corey? here's what happens as a goalie. And especially if you're a Carey Price type goalie, he's watching Mike Condon play, and he's struggling a little bit. So he's feeling the pressure to get back in. He's feeling the pressure to get back in the net. So he might go to the trainer, say, "Yeah, he feels pretty good. Feels a little better than he does," just because he wants to play. So he might have ended up going in early. That's where the trainers and the doctors have to say,
But he did play two games and then two periods. So it wasn't like he got hurt in that first game.
I mean, seriously, I don't discount what you're saying, Corey, but it's Carey Price, and he should never be afraid of his job security. And Mike Condon's done a great job, but it's Carey Price versus Mike Condon. Carey Price could be out till Christmas, and it'll still be his job.
Yeah, but I'm not. That's not where I'm going. I'm not going job security. I'm going. You feel an obligation to your teammates.
But they're still winning.
Yeah. But no, you still feel an obligation. I'm talking from a goalie standpoint and pressure. This is what makes him so good. This is what makes a player good is that they feel like they want to play every game and they need to be in the net. And I know him sitting out would be eating him up and burning him up and watching. And whether they're still winning or not, he knows his teammates need him and he wants to get back in the net. So that's, you feel that pressure and that guilt. It's like,
this narrative right now of coming back too early because of what happened in the National Football League yesterday with Tony Romo.
Right.
The report from Mark Spector that Connor McDavid is ahead of schedule recovering from his broken clavicle. And whether or not that's the right thing to do or whether you stick with the timeline no matter where he is in his recovery.
So if you're Mark Bergevin, though, I guarantee you're pissed at the trainers. You're not happy with the trainers for what happened, and the trainers are feeling the heat today.
But let's face it. I mean, we don't actually know the real injury to Price, but we believe it's a soft tissue. It's not a bone.
Yeah.
So it's a soft tissue issue. And if Carey Price says he's fine and he goes through his routines in practice with Stefan Waite, with the trainers, with everybody watching, you're not going to stop him from playing.
No, you're not. You're not. Absolutely, you're not.
So how could you be mad at the trainers?
Because someone's going to take the hit for it. It's like being the goalie coach when I was St. Louis. Our goalies didn't stop the pucks in the playoff. I couldn't go out there and stop them for them, but I ended up getting let go. So someone takes the blame for it, and it's typically not the player.
Well, I was going to say, I would blame Carey Price.
But you would.
Yeah.
But when you're the GM.
And I just did.
And you're, so, you did. Yeah. But when you're the GM and you're looking at the situation, you're saying it's the trainer's fault for letting him go on the ice too early. That's how the league works. I'm telling you right now. That's how it goes. Somebody's taking the blame, and typically it's not the guy making $7 million.
What's forgotten in all this is Carey Price hurt himself in that second period, and he finished the period.
Yeah.
He didn't hobble off the ice. So that even tosses more vagueness into the injury and how severe it is.
Or it's just exactly what we said. Why? I mean, he's probably saying it. Why am I rushing this? Why is, and the team saying, why are we rushing this? You know, the Montreal Canadiens have played so well and are doing so many good things, even with their limited injuries with other guys.
They have a cushion built up.
Yeah, I mean, hey, listen, they need Carey Price healthy in April.
Absolutely,
they need
him
in April. Take your time, just relax, enjoy the holidays.
There are James Reimer,
David,
right? James Reimer's battling right now. Hopefully, yep. He wants to be back tomorrow night.
I think that's different, though.
Andre Pavlich is out. Kari Lehtinen is out.
Yep.
There's a lot of bangs.
I think the Reimer situation is different, only because you know Mike Babcock and Lou Lamoriello are still in what I would describe as a fact-finding mission and trying to figure out who has the character to play for the Toronto Maple Leafs, who's good enough long-term to be invested in. And so Reimer's, you know, had a huge opportunity, take advantage of it for the most part. And then so if this little injury is a little bit of a setback for him, he wants to prove to Babcock that he has that he has the ability to play in the Babcock system on a regular basis.
If you're James Reimer and you get hurt this week in practice, then you miss a practice. How much do you put yourself in that position? Do you play tomorrow night?
If you're
almost
James,
no matter what.
If you're James Reimer, now this is a different situation. This is a situation that you're talking about,
yeah.
A player that's worried about job security.
Yeah.
Because James Reimer, yeah, he's played well. It's only been, you know, 10, 12 games. It hasn't been, you know, Carey Price type Vezina
right.
play. So now this is a guy that if he misses a game and Jonathan Bernier goes in and lights it up, he might sit on the bench for a while. So I could see a situation like that where a guy would push himself to get in the net early.
And what kind of discussion would there be internally? I mean, because is Reimer going to say, listen, I don't want to give the net up? Is he going to say that to his goalie coach? Is he going to say that to an assistant coach? Is he going to say that to Babcock?
He won't say it, but he'll be thinking
now,
it.
Why won't they say it?
I don't know. It's like an unwritten, you just kind of keep quiet and just put your head down and get in the net.
Really?
Yeah. Well, but if I'm the Toronto Maple Leafs, they're probably looking at getting Jonathan Bernier going, so they might sit Reimer anyways, even if he says he's ready. I mean, are they really looking at making the playoffs this year and trying to win a Stanley Cup? I mean, yeah, they'd like to make the playoffs.
They want to win games.
And win games, but, you know, they're still feeling everybody out, and they mm-hmm. would like to get Bernier going. Let's see what Bernier does now, you know? I mean, that's kind of the situation that the Leafs are in. But if you're James Reimer, yeah, you're like, I got to stay in the net.
So what do you want? What would you expect to hear from James Reimer?
That he's ready to go. He will say he's ready to go, unless he is absolutely 100%, you know, laid out. He'll do anything to stay in that. And that's the type of guy he is too.
So
he's
this
a character guy.
This is they always say, if it was the playoffs, he'd be in there.
Absolutely.
This for James Reimer. He should look at it as
this is playoffs.
Playoffs.
Yeah.
And by the way, if it was playoffs, Carey Price would be in there.
Yeah, absolutely. You're right.
That's
no question.
That's the reality of what's gone on right now.
Why are so many goalies banged up?
I think the position's getting a little bit more athleticism back to it, which I love to see. So I think that, you know, you're seeing guys that are making some unbelievable moves to make saves and putting themselves in awkward positions. I also think that goaltending right now, there's so little margin for error, like one bad goal mm-hmm. nowadays, and your team doesn't win the game. You lose. So the pressure is so high for goalies right now, and they're so good. I'm really impressed.
Are you happy the way that the league and the officials are protecting the goaltenders, or are they protecting them enough? People in Winnipeg are going to say they're not protecting them enough with the Pavlich injury.
Yeah.
But with the new goalie review and the video review and the appeal – Are they being protected?
I think so.
Because the one thing that I would suggest is that with the speed of the game, you know, that 6x4 is a bit of a target.
Yeah.
Even for bodies.
Yeah.
So from that, you wonder then, you know, as we see the Shane Doan falling on top of Pavlik at, you know, 40 miles an hour, you know, we used to see a lot more at times, but is more of that coming back?
How respected is Shane Doan in the National Hockey League?
He's a legend.
That he does that.
Yeah. And nobody goes
after him. Yeah.
And he's pretty tough, too.
There might be two other players in the league that would occur, where you don't get jumped and beat to a pulp.
Who were the guys on the ice for the Jets? And that might be a fact of who was on the ice. I mean, if Bufflin was on the ice, I would suggest it might be different.
Yeah, I don't even know whether it matters. They just go with Shane Doan. Yeah. He wouldn't do that on purpose. There's no way.
Yeah. The game's changed too, right? I mean, guys aren't typically, with the instigator rule and all that stuff, they expect the
I don't think it's changed that much.
I don't know. It's, I remember days when I used to go in the corner to get the puck. A guy would seriously lay me out.
Sure.
And there'd be no penalty. You'd be like, what?
I'm one of those guys.
But the guy would still get jumped.
Yeah, but then there'd be a 5-on-5 and possibly a bench-clearing brawl.
I am actually one of those guys, Corey, that believes that if a goaltender works outside of the crease or the trapezoid, so above the line, I think he should be fair game.
I don't disagree.
It's ridiculous.
I don't disagree.
By the way,
it's ridiculous.
What
that's
position
ridiculous.
Did you play?
No.
What position did you play? What was your mask like?
The idea that a goalie should be fair game is so asinine because he can't move. He can't move. It doesn't have the same
mobility.
We're not
talking about you run him. You can't run the goalie, but a legal body check? Why not?
That's what I'm saying. A legal body check. I'm not saying run him either. I'd run you. But
you might get run out of here.
Really?
The mood that
it's not Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday, okay?
The way you walked
it's
in here
Tuesday,
today.
It's not Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday, mister.
What do you mean by that?
Nothing.
Come on, explain yourself.
No.
Hey, you want to go down this path.
Everybody knows.
Come on, Timmy. Let's go.
Who's Timmy?
Just making up a name. No inside jokes on this show. No inside comments.
Oh, that's a new rule as of Thursday afternoon?
So what do you make of this Connor McDavid situation with the report coming out from Mark Spector that he is ahead of schedule?
I'm with John. So what if he's ahead of schedule?
Great.
Keep him out an extra week.
February 3rd.
Yeah.
February 3rd, February 11th.
That's after the All-Star weekend, though.
Exactly. I mean, everybody saw what happened yesterday with Tony Romo at the football game. Mm-hmm.
He's
out for the rest of the year. If that's not a warning sign to the Edmonton Oilers, I don't know what is. Same injury. Take your time. Do it right. Make sure it heals. You know, 18-year-old, 19-year-old kids, sure, bones heal quicker than they do on guys that are as old as you. Absolutely. But just be practical about it. Connor McDavid is in for the long term, not the short term. You know, and I just think it's silly if they rush him. I really do.
So,
and I mean, to your point, I don't care if it's the King of England that says he's good enough to play.
Right,
he's not playing.
No, I'm with you on that. This kid, he's 18 years old. And
the original projection was
8 to 12 weeks.
So, you, John, think that he should be kept out 12 weeks?
I think
no matter what he says. I'm not saying you're wrong.
Yes, I do. I do. I think that, you know, just stay the course. You know, if he plays February 3rd for around there, February 11th, you know, he still gets in 25 or 30 games in the regular season. I mean,
would it be different if they were in a playoff race?
No,
because
not for
the
me.
Dallas Cowboys were in a position if they ran the table.
Yeah,
they could make. Well, they could have won that
division.
What,
if the Oilers run the table in February, they could make the playoffs too.
The reason why Romo came back yesterday there was an outside chance of making the playoffs.
It's the one difference between a 16-game schedule and a 82-game schedule. The point is that I don't want Connor McDavid, and I would hope the conversations like this in the front office. I don't want Connor McDavid hurt again, so this becomes a chronic issue with his collarbone. And that could happen. It could. He could have a chronic situation. And there's going to be doctors saying, no, it's not possible. I tell you what, we've seen it with other athletes when chronic injuries. Grant Fuhrer, to me, was the best example with his separated shoulder. Chronically separating his shoulders that had affected his career. He still was in the Hall of Famer, but he, you know, imagine how good he could have been if he could have raised his arm above his shoulder.
The reason he couldn't raise his arm over his shoulder is because he did the big windmills.
No, but
he literally had a
brace that wouldn't allow him to raise his, because it would always pop out. His shoulder would pop out.
One of the greatest saves Grant Fuhrer ever made was in that alumni game, the outdoor
Isn't
game.
That awesome?
And he just
loved it.
It was vintage.
Around the world. So, I mean, your answer is Connor McDavid's going to be an Edmonton Oiler for a long, long time. And I'd like to see them progress as a team and be in a place where by the end of the season we know how good McDavid is after he's been healthy for 25 games, as opposed to, you know, in early, sore. You know, take your time. Just take your time.
Yeah, that organization should be in probably a 3 to 4 year plan to win a cup. But this year, there's no point. There's no point in rushing a kid back for what? It doesn't make sense. So that he can develop. I don't know.
Look what happened in Carolina the other night. That's for what?
No, but that's a blip. If you look at the growth,
where are they in the standings right now? That's not a blip.
Oh, I'll tell you what. I think if you have watched every Oiler game, there are signs of progress.
Absolutely.
Signs of progress. Every once in a while, Darren, you have a bad game. And that was Carolina. Particularly on the heels of a game in Washington, a 1-0 game in Washington, where they outplayed the Caps. And so the hope was, oh, man, we're the momentum's going the right way. We're playing a good game. We're doing it without McDavid. That's important. And so the disappointment that he wasn't unable to get that team to play at a high level against the Carolina Hurricanes. I think everybody in the organization, you could read the fan response.
John,
how disappointed everybody was.
I agree in a lot, like
the
Toronto Maple Leafs.
Big test tonight.
The body of work on a night to night basis has been much better than last year for the Edmonton Oilers.
Yes.
But overall, this
But you're
team,
not suggesting they were going to make the playoffs this year, are you?
No, but okay. Did you expect them to be
30th?
In last place?
There's a lot of teams that I look at the bottom. I didn't expect Edmonton, Calgary. I didn't expect Anaheim and Calgary to be out of the playoffs now. I didn't expect Colorado to be out of the playoffs. I didn't expect Columbus to be out of the playoffs. I didn't expect Florida to be out of the playoffs.
Don't negotiate with me with other franchises. Talk to me about the Edmonton Oilers.
But the group that's running the Oilers now have been there for how long? Honestly, how long? 1st of June?
Yep.
Okay. It's a new team. It's a new philosophy. Todd McLellan didn't know anything about what made Jordan Eberle tick until he was with him at the World Championships. He didn't know anything about Taylor Hall until he was with him at the World Championships. They are learning this roster. They have put a makeshift defense together. It's not a very good defense. It's a major issue for the organization. How do they fix that in the short term? How do they fix that in the long term? Those are the issues. How do you expose Darnell Nurse, who is going to be a stud in the National Hockey League? How do you expose him night after night to an inferior product? That's a challenge. That's a problem. So it takes so much time to do it.
You need a distraction along the way, and Connor McDavid is that distraction from the reality.
Or the Connor McDavid news? The
news, and then bringing him back when he's ready instead of keeping him out
for 12
weeks.
Should bone breaks be black and white, though? Like, I mean, either it's healed or it's not. Like, if you have soft tissue, then, like, Carey Price, I mean, that could bug him for months.
Yeah.
So they should know the exact day that he comes back, pretty much, with a bone break. Why rush him early?
I agree with you, and I'm not a doctor. I did stay at a Holiday Inn Express last night. But
why?
Because I'm not a doctor.
No, why did you stay at a Holiday Inn Express?
Never mind. The point is, teenage bones are green. You know, they're not fully developed yet. And that's one of the challenges of playing teenagers in a collision sport like hockey, with the speed they're playing it. But I just take your time with McDavid. Take your time. Should we tell him that on Monday?
Yeah, he's going to commit the Edmonton Oilers, Toronto Maple Leafs on Monday. National game on Sportsnet. was supposed to be Connor McDavid's first game in Toronto.
Yeah.
Won't happen, but we're going to sit down and talk to him.
NHL game.
NHL game. Oh, thanks, Tips.
Well, World Juniors. He was at the World Juniors. Did you forget that?
What's wrong with him today? I'm looking at John Shannon, not Corey Hirsch.
Well, that's because there's something wrong with me every day.
Why did you stay at a hotel last night?
Can't
let's
talk
not,
about it.
Let's not go there. Let's
I don't not. Want to talk about it.
Okay. A few things you don't want to talk about today.
Yeah, it's two.
You wrote in a blog that the Coyotes are moving.
Yeah, they are.
Back to this again?
Again?
Yeah, but they're not moving far. Corey, you live there. Glendale to downtown, 20 miles? 15 miles?
Yes, but 20 miles closer to my house. Okay. And everybody else in the whole city.
That's right. Closer to the hockey market. This is a really good hockey market. It truly is. Scottsdale.
People don't believe that, but it is.
Phoenix, Tempe. I mean, really a good hockey market. The whole money grab to go out to Westgate and build the mall and the arena was a giant mistake.
It'd be like putting the Leafs out in Ajax.
Actually, they'd probably sell out in Ajax.
Yeah,
they might. They'd sell out anywhere. The ownership that's there now got fortunate that the city of Glendale wanted to break the lease, the 15-year deal.
Yeah.
Because it has forced the issue of where should they go. And there's interest in the new mayor in the city of Phoenix to build a downtown arena for both the Suns and the Coyotes across from the ballpark. There's interest from Arizona State University to build a hockey basketball. There's Division I hockey, I think, is coming to Arizona State.
Yeah, it's there this year.
Yeah,
I think they have a hockey program, but they join Division I
next year.
Yeah, right now they're playing kind of.
So hockey's booming to a small extent in the valley, and
Auston Matthews isn't going to hurt either.
And Auston Matthews. By the way, the minor hockey program there, and not just the Coyotes, but the owner of the Sun Dogs did a really good job of creating a minor hockey program in the Valley of the Sun.
It's the thing about being in Phoenix with their minor hockey program is there's so many ex-NHL players there that are coaches. I never saw an NHL player my whole growing up minor
kinda
hockey.
Kind of like St. Louis, really.
Yeah. And it's funny because you go into the ice then, the arena there, and it's like Steve Sullivan's walking around. Shane Doan's on the ice with his kid. And like these kids are being coached by NHL caliber players. And the program's really, really doing well.
And on top of this, what's happened in the last 3 weeks is they have actually hired, the Coyotes have, a guy named Matt, I think it's Zeitz, Matthew Zeitz, who is
speculate on this show.
Okay, I just can't remember his name. I wrote the thing about a week ago. And he's a high roller as far as creating and negotiating new arena deals. He's got 6 or 7 NHL arena deals done that have been successful. And I know the guys at the New York office of the NHL love him. And so this is really good news for the Coyotes. And not good news if you live in Glendale or a season ticket holder, but good news if you're a Valley of the Sun fan and like to go to the Coyotes games.
Calgary Flames are in Arizona tonight, 9 o'clock Eastern time, 7 o'clock Mountain. A busy day on Sportsnet. Yesterday, we said what we were thankful for these 7 Canadian teams. Today being Black Friday. When we continue, we'll look at who might be on sale, top shoppers are at the quarter mark of the NHL season, and what we learned in the NHL this week. It's all coming up on Hockey Central, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, Sportsnet, and the NHL Network.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Do not settle. Demand. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Now, more Hockey Central on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Update for you. 7 games in the National Hockey League on Sportsnet today. Rangers and Boston Bruins coming up at 1 o'clock. This is your pregame show. We expect more out of the New York Rangers than what we saw the other night against the Montreal Canadiens. Darren Millard here with John Shannon, who's just pissy today, and Corey Hirsch.
You believe that? As long as he didn't call the old middle guy.
Are you going running today in the rain?
No.
Me? Am I? Yeah. You know what? I started running about 6 months ago with my good friends at Fleet Feet Sports Scottsdale. Mm-hmm. And we're doing run streak, and I'm challenging you, Darren Millard.
Yeah,
1 mile a day until New Year's. Can you do it?
Yeah, I can do that.
And I'm not talking streaking. I'm talking 1 mile.
Oh, yeah, I can
with
do
clothes on. That
Let's
would be.
Do, let's do it.
Please do that.
Who, like that? That might be the furthest plug that we've ever dropped in this.
What,
one.
Like Bob's Hardware that we do every week?
How far? You know,
that's my run group.
We've sold condos on Prince Edward Island for 5 years.
Yeah.
So that's. Distance is about the same, I think, isn't it?
good point on that one.
Yeah.
We have, I'm told, William Nylander's coming up.
Wow.
We've been plugging his appearance for a while now. Just a question of whether or not he can get out of practice in time.
Sheldon's so running a tough practice, I bet.
We, we'll chat with him in just a little bit. Let's talk about what we learned in the NHL this week. Brought to you by Boston Pizza. What we learned in the NHL this week. But this is a paid plug. It's not a plug if it's paid. It's called sponsorship.
Okay. They do sponsor us,
What
yes.
did you guys learn in the NHL this week?
Go ahead, Corey.
What did I learn?
You're not ready, are you?
What did I learn in the NHL this week? Let me see. Well, I learned that the Coyotes are moving downtown. That I just learned today, and that's where I live.
That's good.
I'm pretty excited about that. I am really excited about that. Now, don't let me down, though. That's got to be a good scoop.
I'm not letting you down.
Oh, is that really what you learned in the NHL this week?
No, but...
Okay.
He's not ready either. Why are you dressed like Brett Favre was last night?
I love it. Don't try and distract.
I will go. I'm ready.
Okay.
Because Washington Capitals are in Toronto on Saturday night, hockey night in Canada. And now they have a new sniper on the blue line. Learned that Dmitry Orlov has 3 goals because he scored in the last three games, including the game winner against the Oilers. Dmitry Orlov is a sniper. That's what I've learned.
That was a great goal against Colorado Avalanche.
I know.
Calvin Pickard.
Actually, he's done it three different... The shot against the Oilers was... I guess the Oilers was fantastic. The magic one, though. The Darcy Oak magic play. The first one was something to behold. So.
Dmitry Orlov. You watch that play where he put it between his legs, went around the net, and you think... He's got to have more goals. And then he follows it up with
two more.
With a great streak.
Yep.
What we learned in the NHL, brought to you by Boston Pizza.
Well, what I learned in the NHL, now that I truly think about it, I was at the Anaheim Coyotes game the other night. And Ryan Getzlaff says he can't play in front of crowds that are less than 12,000. Says he struggles with getting up for games. All the guys, it's hard to play in front of crowds. So he's behind the net by himself, and he flipped a pass to Hanzel in the slot for a... Really, a turnover chance that Hanzel should have scored on. Mm-hmm. Is that because the crowd was.
No, that's because it was empty. A bad pass.
Things we learned in the NHL this week, brought to you by Boston Pizza. Order online for delivery. Boston Pizza will make you a fan. To quote Corey Hirsch, what did I learn in the NHL this week, now that I really think about it?
What did I learn?
That's incredible research. So you can't play in front of it. That's why rec hockey, men's leagues, is so bad.
It's so difficult to play.
Because there's nobody in the buildings. Imagine the quality of that Division II on Thursday nights at the Highlander in Winnipeg. That would be such good action.
Was that just a drop, too? Did you just do a drop?
The name of a rink.
Plugs all over the show today.
It's not a plug.
Not like, what was the name of it?
Fleet Feet Sports Scottsdale.
Not like that.
No.
Okay.
He put more effort into that than he did.
I've lost 10 pounds.
What he learned in the NHL. That's incredible. Let's embrace Black Friday.
Okay.
Who do you think's on sale in the NHL as we hit the quarter pole?
Well, I want to hear this.
Who's on? Ryan Johansson?
Ryan Johansson? I don't know. Again, I just think it's too early. Tortorella's taken over, and at least they're winning more than they're losing now in Columbus. When you consider they were 0-7 when he took over, and they're, 9-14, and they still haven't got an overtime game. So I mean, they're 9-7 under Tortorella. That's not bad. I mean, if you think that maybe they would be in a playoff spot at this point. I mean, the team that I think that's probably going to have to think about doing something on Black Friday in some way and somehow are the Calgary Flames. How are they going to get out of this? I mean, they're in some sort of funk.
Well, I personally, just watching that, I don't think they like playing for Hartley. That's going to be my personal opinion.
How did it change so fast?
I don't think that they particularly like playing for him last year.
No, well, but winning solves everything.
Absolutely.
Winning solves everything. And I mean, but I don't, how many, and I'm not making excuses for Bob, because I like Bob. He's always been good to me.
That doesn't make him a bad guy.
How many, when you're losing, you'd never like playing for the coach.
Especially when you're sitting on the end of the bench.
When you win, life's pretty good.
I love Jack McElhargy because he played me all the time. And I hated Mike Keenan because I sat on the bench for 20 straight games.
But, 20 straight games.
20 straight, I sat there, yeah.
Did you miss a paycheck?
I should have. I probably should have handed one back.
20 straight games.
I might have gone up to 25. Yeah, I watched Gar Snow play. That was Mike, though. Mike just played one guy, and he didn't play the other guy. That's just the way it was. And so what he did with Cujo,
at any point,
did
you go,
Grant Fuhr played, like, what did he play that year, 76 or something?
But at any point, did you go up to him and say, Mike, I'm here?
Well, I would say it to the assistant coaches. You know, you never ever went up to Mike Keenan and said, hey, Mike, you got to play me. I mean, like, seriously, you'd end up in the minors. You'd put you on waivers.
So do you, if Mike was sitting here, you'd get along with
that? Yeah, we'd have this conversation. I like Mike. I liked his philosophies on winning.
Was he intimidating as your coach?
At times, yeah.
So does he stop being your coach? If he walked in this room right now, would he still be your coach?
I'd still look at him like that, yeah.
Yeah?
But they're two different personalities. Him, Crawford, Hitchcock. They have their rink personality.
Totally.
And they have their away from rink personality. And the rink personality is typically pretty
But I still
nasty.
I think that still exists for a lot of coaches.
It does. You know, Hartley's probably the same way.
A lot of coaches.
Yeah.
In the States, you play for your high school coach. You call him coach forever.
Yeah, for the rest of your life.
He's always coach. He's always coach. Yeah. Is that?
I got a few other names for some of my coaches, but this is a family show. We got to keep it clean.
Carolina, Philadelphia, and Colorado are teams that I'm waiting to hang out the Black Friday sale.
Ooh.
Philadelphia has scored 38 goals. 38 goals in 22 games. I mean,
that's...
And they've got Claude Giroux and Jakub Voracek under giant contracts. Wayne Simmons tied the lead in power play goals last year. I mean, this is a team that, you know, used to be able to almost score at will at times, even though Giroux had trouble 5-on-5 at home. There is something very much up for sale there, I think, somehow, some way. And you can't blame, you know, Michael Neuvirth or Steve Mason. If they give up a goal, they lose.
Numbers are incredible.
No, but if they give up a goal, they lose. Yeah. And that's a problem.
It's very difficult
to win.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No.
When you don't score any goals.
But
you can get points though.
It sucks being a goalie when your team can't score. Point. It's the absolute worst because you feel like you let in a goal and that's it, the game's over.
And Carolina is still that team that has pieces,
Although Carolina is, we talk about Edmonton rebuilding. Carolina, with everything that's gone on in Carolina and the handcuffs that have been put on Ron Francis financially, two ways. First of all, the club doesn't have very much money to spend.
And they use it all on salmon.
And the money that has been used there to sign other bodies. You know, you look at Cam Ward's contract. You look at both Stahl contracts. You look at the Semin deal. That they had to buy him out. Ron Francis is digging that franchise out of a pretty deep hole, and many times I think he's doing a pretty good job. It's just it's going to take a lot of time. It's going to take a ton of time. But I love their defense, great young defense, and
all American.
Hannafin, Brett Pesce, who has come out of nowhere in many ways, played very well. Falk's there. I mean, there are some bright spots. For the future, for the Hurricanes.
My Black Friday deal is, why is Brian Elliott still sitting on the bench in St. Louis? Why is someone going to come and grab him? Is he up for sale? I coach Brian Elliott. He doesn't get a lot of respect, I don't think, from...
Never has, Corey. Never has.
He is the hardest working guy out of any goalie I've ever coached. He's a great team guy. This is Brian Elliott plugs right now, is what it is. And somebody should grab him. I would grab him. And I don't see why Edmonton wouldn't grab him. But, I've said that 1,000 times. Well, he will win games for you.
Respectfully, Edmonton's gone through like 10 guys like Brian Elliott. I mean, Cam Talbot, you know.
See, I disagree because Brian Elliott, to me, can steal you games. He won't win you a cup, but he can steal you games and he can buy you time to develop other guys.
Yeah.
That's my opinion on that. He can buy you time to develop.
So, but you must agree though now that you need a quality tandem of goaltenders if you're going to go a ways into. So why would you get rid of Brian Elliott?
Well, I mean,
Jake Allen's done a good job taking the reins.
I just think that it's time for Brian Elliott to move out of there. I think it's time. I think his time is up there. But who do you? And then you got to bring somebody in. You're right.
Right.
And you got to find. I mean, there's all sorts. There's money. But it's easy for me to sit here and say, hey, let's move Brian Elliott to Edmonton.
Because what you don't want to do is be the manager of the St. Louis Blues and look at all the other goaltenders you've discarded or changed or traded that are starters in the National Hockey League right now, like Jaro Halak and Ben Bishop.
Ben Bishop.
You know, I mean, that's a bit of a problem.
Shameless plug. I coach both of them. No?
Shameless plug.
That's not a plug.
That's a plug for me.
It's a name drop.
Oh.
Oh.
That's different?
You know what? Both of you guys are, both. You're stirring it up, and you're doing pretty good. Yeah, we got a little bit of fire on this show today.
Yeah.
Who are you more impressed with right now, Washington Capitals or the Boston Bruins?
Washington Capitals.
Washington has more points.
No, but Washington.
But where Boston is, especially from the start of the year.
I don't know.
They've been good.
Boston has. I didn't have Boston making the playoffs this year.
Mm-hmm.
I like the transition the Capitals have made, and to me, it's not Altaberry Trotz and defense first. I think it's a transition Trotz has made too, to allow the offensive side of the game to flourish in Washington at the same time making them more defensively responsible. To me, that's one of those ones where the first season that Trotz was there, it was a process of understanding who he has, what he has, what he needs to do, and then him taking the summer off and sitting in Kalamalka Lake and saying, okay, I think we can still open it up and play defense. And then with Braden Holtby done what he's done under Mitch Korn, I think that they really, to me, I've started to think that they might be my dark horse choice in the East to win the Stanley Cup.
So Barry Trotz has grown more than the Capitals roster. Style of play.
I think he has. I think he has adapted more to them than they have to him.
Well, but here's another side of it is that we talked about coaches that are a little, guys sometimes get tired. You never get tired of playing for Barry Trotz. His players love him. Always, forever. That's why he lasts so long in Nashville. So a new change for those players in Washington to come play for him, they are loving playing for him right now. Alex Ovechkin loves him. Mm. And it shows. It shows on the ice.
It really does. It really does.
He's an awesome, I mean, I've known Barry for a long time. He's an awesome human being. He really is.
And then you've got the Boston Bruins where a slow start could have easily led to a coaching change there. You weren't exactly sure where they were going to get their goals from. And I still don't think that they're firing on all cylinders there, but they're healthier.
Yeah.
They've got their cogs down the middle again.
Well, Patrice Bergeron's playing Patrice Bergeron hockey again. But I think you have to tip your hat to David Krejci, who got a ton of money in the summertime and has backed it up. And Brad Marchand. Brad Marchand has played really well for this club, particularly after he made the statement that there were a lot of passengers on this team. And then he went out and started to score goals and play some quality minutes for Julian. So the biggest question for me, for the Boston Bruins right now, is Tuukka Rask up to the challenge?
Well, that's
don't you think?
That's a really good question. Yeah,
Char. I think Char is still a question.
I
watched the other night, and for the first time, I thought he's slowing down.
Yeah,
you talk about his age.
Yep.
We wondered when it's going to happen, but the other night, I thought it was noticeable. The people were getting around him.
I'm not a big believer in the Bruins right now. I think it's a little bit of smoke and mirrors. Mm-hmm. I think that there's some teams that are still in non-playoff spots that are gonna climb up eventually and get out of their funks. But again, to me, yeah, it revolves around Tuukka. Like he's gonna have to continue to play and play well. And you're right, Chara. I mean, the game catches up to everybody, and the game is so fast now. Like the players are young and fast. You see these teams that are going to younger players. Is that the trend that we're going to see now for the next 10 years is younger and faster?
See, I think the return of Dennis Seidenberg is going to help Chara. You know, Seidenberg being back takes a little pressure off the amount of minutes that Chara plays. Chara's still playing, I just checked here, 24-37. Yep. For a guy of his age and his size, I mean, that might be too much right now. That might be too much. Maybe that's something that, you know, and you know, I do have to give Don Sweeney and Cam Neely some credit for being patient, because there was a lot of pressure after the summer they had and the criticism they took for the, you know, for the Lucic trade and the, you know, the three draft picks and
absolutely
that you know, they showed some patience in all of this to be able to hang in with Julian, and the Bruins have, I think Julian and the Bruins have rewarded them, just like when, you know, the three teams that were really bad at the start, Los Angeles. Everybody was asking for Daryl's head. Boston, everybody was asking for Claude's head. I mean, two of those teams, I mean, and that to me is a big part of it.
Want to squeeze in William Nylander, who's joining us as head of the busy weekend for the Toronto Marlies at Air Canada Center tomorrow afternoon. And then they are at RICO on Sunday. 23 points, 17 games for William Nylander. I've been plugging you coming on this show like three or four times, and you've stood us up. And I'm is it really you?
No, I haven't been able to find the time to call you guys, but thank you guys for having me on the show.
So how comfortable are you going through this process, watching the big club and still putting up the points?
Yeah, no, I mean, my focus is to play as well as I can down here, and hopefully when the time comes, I get called up. And I mean, I'm watching the Leafs every game, so I mean, they're playing great, so it's fun to see.
How easy is it, William, that your dad and your brother are here? Your dad and your brother are with the Mississauga team in the OHL. How much easy is that for you compared to last year?
I mean, it's very nice to have them here. I mean, it gives you sort of a family feeling here in Toronto. So it feels sort of a bit like home, coming home and getting a home-cooked meal from your dad. It's always nice.
Can you give us a scouting report on your brother?
I'd say he's a little better version of me.
Nice.
He's better than you?
Yeah.
Wow.
You guys are playing St. John's tomorrow, and I just want to flashback. You beat them 9-8 in overtime a couple of weeks ago. Have you ever been involved in a game like that?
No, I've never actually before 9-8. I've never seen it happen, especially when you're going into the third period 6-4, and then they score two more goals within a minute, and then we come back within the last 5 minutes of the game. I've never seen anything like that, actually.
Are you more frustrated with your goalie, or are you excited because you're scoring so many goals?
I just say excited to be scoring so many goals. That's the fun part.
William Nylander, you get Air Canada Center tomorrow and RICO on Sunday. 23 points in 17 games, leading the American Hockey League in scoring. Keep it going.
Thank you.
Thank you. William Nylander from the Toronto Marlies. And the pressure to bring him up will be there.
He'll get his chance, for sure.
A lot of people within the Leaf organization believe there are three or four players on the Marlies right now better than three or four players on the Maple Leafs right now, and they can afford in the rebuild to be patient, to let them down there, give them lots of minutes, right? You know, let them play 21, 22 minutes in the American League, then play 9 minutes in the NHL.
Absolutely. That's the worst thing that happens that I hate seeing. And as a player, though, it was always difficult. I always wanted to be in the NHL when I was in the minors. So
that was a paycheck thing, though.
Yeah, well, that's part of it. But you always, it's like, and you wanted to get there fast. And you don't realize when you're young like that, that you need to develop. So just a little advice, be patient. It'll happen.
Patience is a good word.
Rangers and Boston Bruins coming up next on Sportsnet, followed by Nashville and Philadelphia, Montreal, New Jersey, Pittsburgh, Columbus, Edmonton, Detroit tonight in the 7 o'clock hour, and then it's Vancouver, Dallas, and Calgary, Arizona wrapping up a 7-game night.
Happy Black Friday, everybody.
Enjoy the games. Enjoy your weekend. The greatest pre-game show.
5 o'clock Eastern Time. 5
o'clock tomorrow on Sportsnet. John Shannon will talk to you then.